welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today. And I'd like to just jump right into the message that God's put on my heart. But before I do, let me just take a moment to pray. Father, I thank you for every listener. And Lord, you see the issues, the situations they're dealing with in their lives right now. And Lord, we thank you that your word always gives us an answer for every problem, every circumstance we face, God. If we don't have wisdom, we can ask of you. And so, Father, I pray that you will give a revelation, rhema word to those who are listening, those who want direction and need understanding. And Father, let us be strengthened by the word of God even this day. Let your anointing be upon it. Lord, give me the ability to preach and to share the truths of your word, Lord, that we all can be strengthened and go on with renewed hope and faith and joy. And run the race that you have called each one of us to run. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Praise God. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at a very significant and important time in Israel's history, which opens the book of Joshua. They are encamped, all the people of Israel, on the plains of Jordan, and it was a place of transition for them. They were being told by the Lord appeared to Joshua. He spoke the word of him, the word of the Lord to him, to be strong and very courageous, to observe the law that Moses had received, and with great lessons for each one of us. You see, it's not just the point of sharing something out of the Old Testament. It's what are the lessons God has given us, the Word of God, what we see portrayed in the pages of the Old Covenant. They're lessons, they're examples for us, as the New Testament says, so we can learn from them. You know, once I had a little placard on my desk that says, "Learn from the mistakes of others. You'll never live long to make them all yourself." Well, that's why God's given us His Word, and so we can learn from the people of Israel. But this is a very significant, exciting time. The baton had been passed to Joshua. He had this tremendous responsibility and privilege to lead God's people into the promised land. And in verse 13 of Joshua, the first chapter, the word says, "Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you." This is Joshua speaking. "The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land." And so they begin to prepare to cross the Jordan, and God successfully allows that passage to occur. And we see in chapter 3, I'm just sort of turning the pages, we see that the priests, the Levites, went before the people of God. They were bearing the ark, and when they placed their feet into the waters of Jordan, lo and behold, they stood up, and people crossed over on dry land. Verse 12 says, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." And it was flood stage, as we read in verse 15. The Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. And so God did an incredible miracle. And then we see in chapter 4, that the Lord instructed them to, as a memorial, they took stones, every man out of every tribe placed a stone to create a pillar to document as well as to memorialize the fact that God had been with them in such a significant way. Praise God. And so, what do we see? This is a time of transition for Israel, and many of of God's people, those of you listening, you're in a time of transition. Yesterday's broadcast, I shared that Egypt was a place of not enough. Well, they may have had garlics and leeks, but it certainly was not enough in their experience as people of God. They were slaves. They were in bondage to the world and to the enemy. They did not have the freedom to worship God as He desired. And so He brought them out into the wilderness to teach them lessons. In fact, one place in the Word it says to see what was in their heart, whether they would serve the Lord or not. That's true in our lives, in our situations. How often, sometimes, have we gone through a wilderness, desert experience because the Lord is testing us to see what is in our hearts. But in the wilderness, for them as well as for us, God gives just enough. Just enough to carry on, just enough to get by, sometimes just enough to survive. Remember when they were complaining, they didn't have water to drink, they didn't have food to eat? Well, of course, God did give them quail, but also He gave them the bread of angels called manna, and that Hebrew word manna says, what is it? They didn't know what it was, but they were instructed by the Lord every day to gather it, and it would be sufficient for the day, however much they needed, but not to hoard it, not to stash it away because it became moldy, it had worms, and God wanted to show them by experience God was sufficient for the day. So, beloved, whatever it is you're facing today, God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you. And so in the wilderness, they had just enough. For 40 years, they were supplied supernaturally, miraculously with the bread of angels. But then when God now is bringing them to a new season, what? He wants them to move into Canaan, which is a season of abundance. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. This is something I'm beginning to experience in my life, especially in a spiritual way. And I was speaking to another sister, dear friend in the Lord, and she was also sharing that there's divine favor that's occurring. It's a season of abundance, and that's a season, a time of dwelling in the promises of God, just as it was for natural Israel when they finally were able to cross over into that land that had been promised to Abraham 400 years before. All right, so where are we now? I'm at Joshua chapter 5, and what happens here is, of course, the word's getting around that the enemies of those who are the inhabitants of the Canaan, it says their heart melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Then we see, and this is again something we should be mindful of, as God moves us into the greater destiny that He has for us, there's a greater consecration and commitment to the Lord that's required. We see the rite of circumcision established here. He asks, of course, Abraham had done that generations before, but he tells Joshua and the people, all the males, to be circumcised, and they waited there until they were healed. And they were encamped in Gilgal. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho. And listen to this. This is the part that I want you to see. They did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. And note this, verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan in that year. Praise God. So God caused the manna to stop. And in order to move on into that new season, they were experiencing a change in diet. Beloved, we need to be able to do that too, to realize that God wants us to feast on the spiritual provision and even the natural provision that He is providing for us. So what happens in chapter 6, we see, well, let me take just a moment. In verse 12, I shared that they did not eat manna anymore. And as they were preparing to begin to move into the promised land, there's just an episode where the captain of the host, Jesus, appears to Joshua by Jericho, and he asks him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he says, "Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy." Praise God. And he did so. Now, let's look at Jericho. Well, it was straightly shut up. Chapter 6, verse 1. Why? Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall come past the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once, and thou shalt do this 6 days." And of course, we know on the seventh day they did it seven times. And what happened? "It shall come to pass," verse 5, "that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." And of course, they were, as they compassed the city, the priests were bearing the ark of the Lord. They were to be silent. They were to be quiet. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout." And of course, they did that. And we know, of course, it was a direct miracle. I've read, you know, explanations trying to understand what happened. It was just maybe the decibel level that caused those mighty walls to come down, fall flat. It doesn't matter. God did it. You know, they circumvented Jericho 13 times. And there is such a thing as round sound reverberation. In fact, they actually use sound waves now to blast out kidney stones. Can you believe that? And so there is a technical and scientific effect that sound waves can produce. And beloved, God knows how to match your shout of faith with the walls that are surrounding you. And the walls will come crashing down if you hearken to the word of the Lord, do obediently everything he tells you to do, and step out in faith, even as Joshua. Well, my time has flown, and I need to bring this broadcast to a close. So we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast, and I do hope you can be with me. It's been a joy to minister the word of the Lord. Such exciting things in the word of God. Amen. Well, if you're struggling, if you feel like, you know, you're not going to make it over to Jericho, you can't even get through the Jordan, please allow me the privilege of praying for you. God's raised up this ministry as a partner in prayer with God's people. The announcer will give you our contact information. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.